So our text is going to be Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 13. But I will begin reading at the beginning of the chapter, just so we can remember what we looked at last week. So I'll start in verse 1, all the way down to verse 13. So the Apostle Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. So, in these chapters, in the letter to the Romans, basically chapters 9 to 11, we're dealing with, what we would call the problem of Jewish unbelief. If Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, if Jesus was promised to Israel, and then those to whom the Messiah was promised don't believe in him, well, that's a problem. What happened? In John, you remember, John chapter 1, where it says, "He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him." God in the Old Testament had promised blessing and salvation upon Israel, and the Savior came, and then they rejected him. So now it seems that those to whom the promises were given, they weren't fulfilled, it seems, and that's a problem. And we saw in chapter 9 that Paul said, well, actually, no, that's not the case. God has not failed in his promises. But he said that God's word has not failed. God's promises are not void. They are fulfilled. But God never promised that he was going to save every single Israelite in the world. But he would promise that he promised that he would save a remnant, a part, some people. And not only that, he gave us scriptures. If you remember from chapter 9, he gave us scriptures from the Old Testament. From the Old Testament that said that God was not going to save every Israelite, but a remnant would be saved. And not only that, then he said he was also going to go beyond that, beyond Israel, and those who are not his people, he was going to call them his people, speaking about the rest of the nations. So now we're dealing with this question: why is it that Israel, generally speaking, has failed to receive this blessing and the salvation? And we've been looking at this over the past couple of weeks, and the reason is this: they thought that they could be accepted by God based upon their own righteousness. They thought that they could be justified before God, that they could become righteous before God by their own good works and by their own obedience to the law. When in fact, everyone fails when it comes to obedience to the law. Therefore, the only way of salvation is through faith in Christ. And those who trust in him, that person is justified and accepted before God. You see, the only one who is really righteous, the only one who is holy, the only one who is pure, is Christ. And so in order for you to be accepted before God, you have to be joined to him, because you can't be accepted in your sin. You have to be accepted in Christ. Scripture talks about us being united with Christ, being clothed in his righteousness. And that is the only way that someone can be saved. And so the Jews, Paul said, Paul himself being an Israelite, he says the Israelites, like so many other people, thought that they were good enough. thought that they were good enough to be accepted by God, and therefore, you don't need Christ. Why would you need him? I'm fine the way that I am. And so we read that they stumbled at the stumbling block, which is Christ. So in today's passage, we're continuing this thought, and we're going to look at the contrast between the righteousness which is from the law, and then the righteousness which is of faith. If you look at verse 5 really quick, it says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law," and then he's going to give an Old Testament quote concerning that. And then verse 6, he says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way," and he's going to give us some Old Testament verses on that. So we have the righteousness that comes by the law, and the righteousness that comes through faith. So these are the two ways that people seek to be righteous before God. Some people seek to do it through obedience to the law, and some people seek righteousness through Christ. So just look at them. Look at verse 5. Again, verse 5. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law." And here's the quote: "The man who does those things shall live by them." Okay? So we got a quote right there from Leviticus, from the law, written by Moses. And he says, "The man who does these things shall live by them." Let me give you the entire verse, just from, it's from Leviticus 18. You'd have to turn there. Let me just read it to you. So this is the entire verse. "You shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." So that's Leviticus. That's the quote. So Paul is saying, if you want to be righteous, if you want to be accepted by God through the law, here's the rule. It's a very simple rule. Follow the law. Okay? If you want to live based upon the law, if you want to live based upon how good you are, thinking that your obedience to God is what will get you through, if you want to have eternal life through the law, you got to do it. Obey it. Okay? It's very simple. The law says, do this and live. You don't do it, and you die. That's the law. It's absolute, it's simple, and absolute. But do you see a problem here? Problem is, who of us has ever kept the law? No one. And so, if everyone has broken it, if you're hoping to be saved by your own goodness and by your own obedience to the law, well, that ship has sailed. Even if we said, you know what, from this moment on, never mind what has happened up until this point, from this moment on, let's see if we can obey God and follow his law. How long do you think you can go without sinning? You know what? This what he's quoting here from Leviticus, he quotes again in Galatians chapter 3. So I want you to see the text because it's very important. So hold your place in Romans. We'll come right back in a couple of minutes. Hold your place in Romans 10, but go to Galatians chapter 3. So in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is going to... It's the same kind of context. Paul is talking to people who think that they can become righteous through the law, and he's going to quote the same passage from Leviticus, but he's going to give them a few more stuff. So look at Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Paul says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." And there's the quote again from Leviticus. All right? Now, he starts off in verse 10. Look at this. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law." What does that mean? Who are those who are of the works of the law? Those who have submitted to the law and said, "Well, this is how I'm going to get saved. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to become righteous through the law." But he says, "Those who are of the law are under the curse." And you're like, "What? Why are we under the curse?" And he gives us a quote. Why? "For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now again, that's a quote there from Deuteronomy. In fact, this is an incredible passage. Let me tell you what's going on in this passage that Paul is quoting here. It's when Israel has left Egypt and they're going into the promised land. And as they're about to go in, God says, okay, here's what we're going to do. The 12 tribes are going to split into two groups. And we're going to go to this mountain. It's two mountains, actually. Two mountain sides. And six tribes are going to climb onto the side of one mountain. And the other six tribes are going to climb on the other side. And then the priests and the Levites are going to yell out the commandments of God. And all the people are going to yell back to each other, amen. And so the priests will go and they will say, cursed is anyone who bows down to idols. And all the people go, amen. They'll say, cursed is anyone who does not honor his father and his mother. And it goes, and they'll all go, amen. And they just start going through the law. They'll say, cursed is he who commits adultery. Amen. And right at the end, when they're getting right to the last one is cursed is anyone who does not continue in all the things written in the law to do them. And like fools, they all go, amen. Wait, what was that last one? Cursed. You're cursed if you don't do continually all the things in the law. And you're like, it can't be. It can't mean that. So if you want to be righteous through the law, if you want to be accepted by God, by your own goodness, keep the law. Okay, well, how much of it do I have to do? What do you mean, how much of it do you have to do? You have to do all of it. It's the law. It's not a buffet that you can just pick and choose what you want and leave the rest. It's God's commandments. It's not a suggestion. God's command says, this is what you do. This is the law. So if you want to be saved through the law, do it. How much? All of it. How often do I have to do it? Continually. That's the rule. And no wonder he says, so if you want to be saved through the law, you're cursed. Anyone who's under the law is cursed. Look at verse 11, still in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. And so he's making the same point that he's making in Romans 10. Righteousness from the law is you do it and you live. You don't do it and you die. So, since all of us have broken the law, if you hope to be saved by that, you're putting your hope in something that is not going to save you. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10. Continue the text. So, that's the language, that's what he says concerning the righteousness that is of the law. If you want to do that, try it. See how that will work out for you. Okay? Verse 6. So he's contrasting the righteousness which is of the law, now with the righteousness which is of faith. Verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. And you read that and you're like, what on earth is that talking about there? That's some strange language. I don't ever remember hearing anyone talking about salvation saying, you know, in order to be saved, you've got to go up to heaven and bring Christ down, or go down to the abyss and bring Christ back up. We don't talk like that. But what's going on here, this is another quote. He's quoting again from Deuteronomy, from Moses, and he's commenting on it. So this text here is from the book of Deuteronomy, written by Moses. And when Moses is saying these words, he's talking about the law. And he's talking about how the law of God is not hidden. It's not something secret. All right? If you want to know the law of God, this was back in Deuteronomy. Moses was saying, if you want to know the law of God, it's not something hidden. You don't have to go up to heaven to find it. You don't have to go down to the abyss to find it and go searching for what the truth is. God has revealed himself. We have the revelation from God. Through Moses at Sinai, God told us what the law is. All right? You don't have to do some superhuman effort to go into heaven to find what the will of God is. We know what the will of God is. It's right here. It's right here. All right? So that's his point. It's been revealed to you. And Paul is using the same language now to apply that to the gospel, but the gospel works the same way. If you want to have righteousness, if you want to know how to be saved, you don't have to go up to heaven to find Jesus. You don't have to go down into the abyss to bring him back from the dead. Righteousness has come to you. Christ has come to you. The gospel has come to you. It's right here. It's not something that's hidden. It's right here. And so, in verse 8, what does it say? What does this righteousness of faith say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Quick side note here. Just a quick side note. This isn't part of the sermon, really. This is just on the side. Just one word about where it says the word of faith that we preach. This has nothing to do with the word of faith movement that exists today, which is a completely unbiblical concept. And basically the idea of the word of faith movement is that by speaking, you can somehow make things happen. That just as God spoke and created worlds, so you can grab into that power somehow, and by your speaking, you can make things happen and bring things into existence. All right. Jesus said you can't even change your hair from black to white or white to black. All right. So take it easy on the power that you have. All right. No, that's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. That's got nothing to do with anything here. All right. So just get that out of the way. When he says here, what's the word of faith? It's basically the gospel. It's the word that you are to have faith in. The word, he says, that we preach. All right? So he's talking about the gospel here. The word that we preach, the word that you are to believe in, have faith in. So righteousness by the law is by doing the law. If you want to be righteous through the law, go ahead and do it. See how that'll work out. But the righteousness of faith is by believing this word that Paul is preaching. The Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles, they all came, they revealed the gospel, the good news. And it's right here. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's right here. You don't have to go up to heaven to try and figure out what the gospel is. It's right here. You know, in the second century, there was... what was the biggest heresy in the second century? Gnosticism. Exactly. Gnosticism, from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. All right. So, what was Gnosticism? Like, if you read second century Christian writers, every one of them in the second century is condemning Gnosticism. Like, that's the big bad thing of the day. And what was Gnosticism? It basically, so meaning knowledge, a Gnostic was someone who believed that salvation came to you through a special hidden knowledge that your common man can't have. You have to have this mystical enlightenment where you come to the knowledge of the true deity, and that's how you come to salvation. All right, that it's not for everyone. It's just for the special ones, the illuminated ones. Well, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is proclaimed to everyone. The gospel, a child can understand the gospel. It's been preached. We know what the gospel is. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ is punished in our place. The punishment that we deserve from God for our sins, he took it upon himself. That's what the gospel is about. And Christ was raised from the dead. God vindicated him. God proved by his resurrection that he is truly the Son of God. And to be saved, you don't have to go up to heaven. You don't have to go down to the abyss. You can be saved right here sitting in your chair. It's right here. The gospel is right here. You trust in Christ. Not in yourself. You trust in Christ and you're saved. Look at verse 9. Let's keep on moving. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now really quick, for 10 chapters now, Paul has been talking about how a person is justified. And it's been faith, 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 right? Believe in Christ, believe in Christ, believe in Christ. He hasn't mentioned confession of the mouth. This is the first time that he mentions that. And obviously, I think we all understand that simply saying the words that Jesus is Lord, just anyone can just say the words. It's not about saying the words. Okay, a pagan can say the words. You can teach a parrot to say the words. That's not the issue. All right? But Jesus told us that whatever is in the heart comes out of the mouth. If you hear someone always talking about, oh, I don't know, sports. Why? Well, that's what's in his heart. That's the most important thing to him. If you hear someone speaking about music all the time, because that's what's most important, that's what's in his heart. If you hear someone talking about money all the time, well, that's what's in his heart. If you hear filth coming out of someone's mouth all the time, well, that's what's in his heart. And if you hear someone talking about Christ and the gospel all the time, well, that's what's in his heart. And so, if a person never speaks of Christ, never speaks of the gospel, never confesses faith in Christ, it's not the confession per se that saves, obviously, it's the changed heart. But if a person never confesses faith in Christ, well, can we really expect that person to have a changed heart? Let me tell you a story real quick. It's by St. Augustine. So this is back in the 4th century. He tells a story in his Confessions. It's one of his most famous books. And he tells a story of a gentleman who was a philosopher. Great, famous philosopher of his day, whose name was Victorinus. And Victorinus was a great philosopher, great debater, great defender of the Roman way of life and the Roman gods. And they had a statue of him in Rome. He was a famous guy, famous orator. He would go and he would speak, and all his opponents were terrified of him because he was so great at speaking. And so this man, Victorinus, he started studying the scriptures. And lo and behold, he believed. He believed that Christianity was true. And so he was speaking with a friend of his, but he never confessed, he never openly went and confessed Christ because he was afraid of offending all of these people to whom he was popular, to whom had been paying him all these years, and, you know, to whom he was teaching all these years. He didn't want to offend any of them, all the pagans. And so he was speaking with a friend of his one day, a Christian friend of his. And Victorina says to this Christian friend, he says, you know, I'm already a Christian. And his friend said, I don't believe you. He said, I'll only believe you if I see you in the Church of Christ. And Victorinus laughed. And he said, what, do walls make a Christian? But the man kept studying, kept reading the Word of God. And it started bothering him, started eating him up inside. And then he read in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus said, if you confess me before men, Son of God, the Son of Man will confess you before the angels of God. But if you deny me before men, Son of Man will deny you before the angels of God. And he couldn't take it. And he went to the church and he made a public declaration that he believed in Jesus Christ. And was accepted into the church and denounced his former idolatry. Yes, we are justified through faith alone in Christ. But if it is a true and living faith, it's not going to remain hidden. If it's in your heart, it's going to have to come out. I know there are people who say, well, if you can believe whatever you want, just don't talk about it. Well, that can't really happen for a Christian, because if it's in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. The good news of Jesus Christ is too good to not share with other people. So let's finish this text off, verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Have you ever trusted in anyone that you shouldn't have? Have you ever trusted someone who let you down? I'm sure all of you have. You trusted in a person, you trusted in an investment, you trusted in, you trusted in your team. Maybe you had a football team that you loved, and you were like, this is it, we're going to win. We're going to win the championship, and you went, and you boasted, and you cheered, and then they let you down. Because So, you see, faith on its own, well, faith only matters if the thing that you believe in matters. Like, I can believe, if I believe in someone who is untrustworthy, it doesn't matter how much I believe, they're still untrustworthy. If I believe in someone who does not have any power, I can believe as much as I want, but it's not going to do anything. He doesn't have power. Faith only matters if whom you trust is worth trusting. And the scripture tells us that Christ is the solid rock. And if you believe in him, you will not be ashamed. Verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. In the Old Testament, you had Israel that was the most favored nation. God gave them the scriptures. He sent them the prophets. Everything was going on through Israel. But the gospel goes way beyond Israel. The gospel is for all nations. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. He says there is one Lord over all. There's only one Lord. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. There's only one Lord. And he is rich to all who call upon him. We are all poor sinners. We don't have any righteousness or goodness or holiness to stand before God. But Christ is rich in that which we don't have. He's rich in righteousness. He's rich in holiness and goodness. And he can give that to you that you may stand before God. I think of all these awesome passages in Scripture. The prodigal son. When he's sitting there, wasted everything, and he's feeding the pigs, and he's got nothing to eat, and he says, you know, back at my father's house, he doesn't say, well, there's a little bit of bread. He says, there's bread to spare. There's plenty of bread. There's more bread than they need. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with the fish and the bread, he doesn't say to his disciples, okay, hand out the food, but just take it easy, okay, because I don't know if there's going to be enough for everyone. He says, just give it. Give it out. And it says, everyone was filled and there were leftovers. These are all pictures of the righteousness of God. These are pictures of salvation, that God is rich in mercy and grace and righteousness for those who call upon him. Verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're from. You can be justified before God. Not through the law. That's not going to save you. But through Christ. And you don't have to go up to heaven to find him. You don't have to go down in the abyss to bring him up from the dead. You can be saved right here. The gospel is right here. Christ is here in your mouth and in your heart. So if you trust him, you will be saved. Let's pray.